day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. We are glad to have you back here with us on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're coming to you from beautiful San Antonio, Texas, and we hope you're having a wonderful day enjoying God's goodness and grace. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm here with co-host Steven Cervantes. Good morning, Steven.
Morning, Jonathan.
Well, you know, in our previous broadcast, we talked about lots of different comments that we've heard over the years from men in recovery and with their struggle to be pure. And one of those comments that we had in that list was, it's easier for men to talk to women. That's sometimes what ends up happening. And we made the comment that men really need other men. We need male friendships. So we're going to devote this broadcast to that idea of men needing other men and why that's so important.
Yeah, and let me play off this men liking to talk to women. And I was just thinking about a situation where, I think the woman wants to please the man, and the man wants to please the woman. And so that's kind of a special arrangement where we're both going to just please each other. And I just had this thought the other day. When two people are dating and they make all these early promises, you probably have to go back and revisit all those later, because everybody's trying so hard to say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dating, oh, yes, I'm like that. Oh, yes. Girls are saying, yes, I love football. And guys are saying, yes, I like going to concerts, opera or symphony. Oh, yes. Everybody's saying yes to everything. And then later you come back and go, okay, no, I thought you said yes.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what that yes really meant. So I think just that phenomena of guys and girls trying to please each other is one thing. And that's easy, and it's easy for guys to settle in and really enjoy that pleasing part of dialogue. But I think that at some point, men have to get real with men.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go deep with men to be a refined man. And so I would say, I like counting, so I'm just going to say number one here. Point number one is, men seem to understand men. And so when you're talking to a man, he has some similar experiences. And he's going to relate his experiences to your experiences as a male, attacking the world, attacking problems in the world, taking on challenges. And so there's just somehow immediate bond that occurs. And this is not to demean women or not to say it's not as good or one is better than the other. This is just, why do men need men? What happens? And point number one is, there just seems to be understanding.
Well, yeah, and it's not the idea that, like you said, it doesn't make communication, men communicating with other men, better or worse than men communicating with women. They're just different. It's just very different. And I think part of that is this idea of men understanding men. We are just even biologically wired the same way. So there's automatically kind of this connection that you've got with another guy where it's like he can... I see this happening all the time when a guy comes in a support group or when I'm doing a workshop or something like that, where I'll start talking about just normal male struggles with pornography or lust or anything, and all of a sudden, just without even realizing, the guy's head just start nodding. Like,
everybody's nodding.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's that idea of, we don't have to, with other men, it's like we don't have to explain everything.
Though that's
to
a
them.
Good way to put it, yes.
They just automatically, there's like this automatic understanding of, oh, I'm a guy. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I have guy biology. I have
exactly.
Guy wiring. I have guy dialogue, guy templates in my head or something.
And I think that's important, because we even talked in the last broadcast about men wanting to be known. Well, there's a level of knowing that men can only have with other men that they really can't have with a woman. again, not in any way devaluing the importance or the relationship of a man with a woman, because I think that God has designed us for that very unique relationship. But there's also this connection that a guy would have with another guy, where there's an understanding that can be there that, quite honestly, can never be achieved between a man and a woman. And again, not devaluing either relationship or valuing one yes, over the other. Right. They're just very different. And I think I think it's important for men to know that there's a great value in that automatic understanding that a guy is going to have with another man that's going to allow him to be transparent without fear of that guy not understanding what he's talking about.
That's right. And that's point number two, that men, and look, there's an 80-20 rule. So this is not 100% all men are like this or all women are like that. You're going to have some crossover. You have some females that think more like males and some males thinking more like what we're describing as the female. And really it's kind of the more emotional maybe versus the logic, or emotional versus the project-oriented, task-oriented kind of thinking. But number two, men process differently and speak differently, express themselves differently. They generally talk differently. And so you'll hear these guys with few words, looking, grunting, nodding, and having had a whole dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very comfortable. And the other guy doesn't get emotional. So I hope we're being very careful here. One is not better than the other. There's no absolute. But somehow, the men that are listening know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, did you hear Jonathan? That's exactly man talk right there. Uh-huh, mm-hmm, that's it, you know. He doesn't need to say anything else. He doesn't have to embellish the story, tell me how it emotionally strikes him or anything. He nods, and we're off, and I feel understood. Man-to-man dialogue.
I'm getting this picture in my head of how many wives have asked their husband, you know, when they come home from work, how was your day? And his answer is what? Fine.
Didn't we talk, dear? We exactly. talked, dear. What do you mean? I answered, you asked, we talked. What do you mean we never talked?
And the thing is, to the wife, that's probably not an acceptable response. To another guy? Cool. That's great.
Number three, men can forgive each other easier. Now,
explain that. Yeah.
Yeah, mostly because of what we just talked about in terms of their templates of understanding, experience. I got it. Me too. Now we're just talking men that are, you know, that are growing and learning and sharing stories. They can be understanding of each other. Now, the difficulty is you put that man in a marriage and he tells these stories to his wife. Wow, they're bonded and connected. Mm-hmm. This sounds like dangerous, risky stuff. But if you have a guy sharing with another guy, it's like, okay, yeah, that's probably not smart. Don't do that again. Clean it up, you know. I'm glad you told me, you know, let's straighten up now. But he's not going to get this emotional connection and bond that he might get with a wife.
And he's not going to have, in most cases, he's not going to carry that as a chip that he can play against that guy later. He's going to be able to release that because he understands that struggle.
Right. Yeah.
And so when a guy comes and says, you know, hey, listen, this week I really, you know, I goofed. I looked at porn on the internet. That guy's going to be able to challenge him, but he's also going to be able to say, you know what, I understand exactly what that feels like. I understand the shame associated with that. I understand the struggle of secrecy. I understand all of that, exactly where you're coming from. And he's not going to grab that failure and hold it in tow to be able to use against that guy later to say, ha, I got you, you know, I'm going to stick you with this.
Yes.
That's just, again, it's kind of that maleness that we share.
And really, we may be talking about two relationships, a guy with another guy in community and a guy in relationship to a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say stuff to a wife about a struggle, it implies something about her, and then as you say, she might save it and then throw it back in your face later, so you may not feel as comfortable sharing there. But that's why this guy needs a guy outside his marriage.
Exactly.
To get in his face, to say things, to vent through and work through and talk through.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Because, you know, obviously if a guy is struggling in the area of sexual purity, he needs that forgiveness. You know, that's a very important component of his process, to know that there is a place in which he is safe to reveal his failures, to reveal his shortcomings, so that he can know, okay, I'm in a safe place. It's not that he's not going to get challenged in that place, but he's not going to get beat up for his struggles.
And I would say he can process through an issue with somebody else. He can say it out loud and hear himself talking, say, you know, I said that, but that sounds dumb. I even hear myself saying that. Sounds pretty dumb, doesn't it? I mean, when you're processing it through in a safe place, it's going to be helpful. And that's what we're hoping is happening in our groups, in our community, in our churches. Men are challenging men.
And this isn't to say that you can't have a safety with your wife. You know, it's not to say that that's not possible. Again, it's just a very different dynamic that's going on. And I think to get to a place of safety with a wife, there has to be additional training kind of in that environment that's different from what just kind of automatically happens when men are with other men.
And when you think about number four, it'd be men are needed to role model, you know, and to challenge other men. I mean, a woman can train you to be a woman. A mother can train you to be a mother, or a sister can teach you how to be an adult female. But you really need a man to train another man on how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need male leaders and male role models and men out front, experienced. And I think we're told the older is supposed to teach the younger. So we need men training men.
And I want to take this moment to just make a special comment to those men out there who grew up without a dad present. That has its own set of unique struggles, pain, anger, disappointment, issues with abandonment, things of that nature. That does not mean that you therefore cannot learn how to be a man. But it's still one of those things where you need another man in order to mentor you or to role model for you. And the good news is you're never too old to have that type of a man in your life. You know, you may be 30, 40, even 50 years old, and you say, listen, I've never had a role model in my life. It's never too late. It's never too late to, you know, there are a lot of 50-year-old men walking around who are 12 years old emotionally because they never learned how to grow up as a man because they never had a role model to model godly manhood to them. Doesn't mean that because you're 50, you therefore can't somehow develop that kind of relationship. So I just want to give hope to those who are out there who said, listen, I didn't have anybody. It's never too late to go seeking those kind of relationships.
That's the point of this discussion is men find men.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're a male and you need another male, you need an older male, because men can hold each other, especially we're talking about Christian men can hold each other accountable. And we know what the standard is, right? The standard is Christ, and we know where we can find the teachings in his Bible, and we can go to church and hear the word. But men, point number five is men can hold each other to accountability. And that's essential, that men call one another when they're out of line. It's difficult when a woman tries to call a man. It's when a man goes toe-to-toe with another man, he goes, what are you doing? I know what you're doing. Knock it off. Well, who do you think you're kidding? Why are you doing that? I mean, a man will confront another man and back him down. And in the kingdom, we're called to do that, to call to one another to live more Christ-like.
And those are exactly the kind of men we need in our lives. I try to tell guys all the time to kind of create a network of men in your life. You know, you got a couple guys in your life that are those mentors, those role models for you. But you also need some men who are more along the peer level. These are guys that are kind of the same point you are in your life, and these are guys that really can provide encouragement for you. And then I think you also need some guys in your life who you are training up, who you are being a role model for. I think there's just different dynamics of kind of having that student, teacher, and peer relationships. I like to think of it as creating multiple hedges of protection where we need that accountability in our lives. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 12:1 that he who hates correction is stupid. I really think that God has a sense of humor and kind of plays to the male ego, especially in a verse like that, Because what guy likes having a finger pointed at his chest and saying, "You're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid"? You know, we don't. So he's saying, okay, if you don't want to be called stupid, invite correction in your life. Seek people, seek other men who are going to say, "Hey, you know what? You're getting out of line here. You're getting off track. Let me help you get back online." Those are the kind of people we need in our lives. We don't need a bunch of yes men in our lives. We're just going to tell us everything we want to hear. We need other guys who are going to be able to confront us when we're getting off track.
Yes. And I think what you find happening is, point number six is mature men can challenge immature men. And I'm talking about spiritually mature, emotionally mature. When you see a man that's being immature, you might go, you know, you're kind of being silly. You know, we're trying to get some work done here, and you're kind of being silly. A man can push on another man, and there's this level of respect that men give to one another, and so you can confront someone, you know, if you do it in a respectful manner. Most of the time it's taken with the assumption of respect, that you're a man and I respect that fact, and I'm a man. And so from that position, I need to give you some wise counsel because you've been acting immature.
And, you know, here I think about the verse that talks about speaking the truth in love. I think that's what mature men provide for immature men, is they're going to speak truth into that man's life. They're going to do it in a way, though, that it can be received. You know, I think maturity is not harsh, and I think that's a sign of maturity, is when you're able to extend truth in a merciful and gracious way, but it's still truth. You're not gonna lower the standard. You're not gonna somehow say to this other guy who's being immature, "Oh yeah, it's all right if you continue down that path. You'll be okay. Everything will be fine." No, maturity says, "Listen, you're about to have a train wreck." And I don't want to see that happen in your life. So I'm going to give you some direction here. Obviously, it's still your choice if you take it, but I'm not going to stand by idly and not speak this to you and tell you that you're going in the wrong direction.
Good. So then I would say, number seven, Christian men need brothers in Christ. And so we know where they come from, the Christian perspective, and to come in as a brother, to be on the same mission, the same journey, in the same direction, to understand that this man is like my bigger brother, who's maturing ahead of me, but also wants to help me and has my best interest in mind. I mean, that's incredible kingdom work, I think, for the older men to help the younger men. In the name of Christ.
And I think this particular point, there is a real sense of belonging, I think, that men long for. To know that they're part of a family, a community of other men who share the same beliefs, who have the same Father, God, and who are part of a common mission of making disciples, of sharing the good news with others. There's just this... It creates this community of saying, I belong with these guys, you know? We're all in the same family. These are my brothers. It also kind of ups the ante for us protecting one another, for us fighting for one another. You know, when you're a brother, you're going to sacrifice. You're going to say, "Listen, I'm not going to let this brother fail,"
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And that's important, I think, for men to know that they belong to that sort of a family or community.
A community of faith, mm-hmm. right? A community of brothers and sisters, fellow journeymen, if you will, moving in one direction, almost like the Israelites, you know? We're just going to help each other get to the promised land. We're on this giant mission. Number eight, men help boys grow. And boys need men as leaders. I'm saying the same thing two different ways. Boys need men as leaders for examples. And so we need the men out training the boys, and the boys need some examples out front. And I think as young boys, mothers do an excellent job. But as a boy becomes a teenager and a young male, sometimes they just point blank need a man to ride them and correct them and lean on them and shape them. And so we're talking about the value of a man in the life of a growing boy. That we're talking a man to man. That's a young man in development.
This is a huge area of need that I see, especially in our culture here in America, where there seems to be this growing absence of fathers or even men being involved in boys' lives in a real healthy, godly way. I think there can be any number of reasons of why that's the case, but it's still the case. And I think what this is producing is entire generations of boys who grow up with gigantic question marks over their head of, what does it even look like to be a man? How do I lead? How do I make decisions? How do I organize my life? You know, it's just a very confusing thing if a boy does not have a man to show him step by step. Here's how you make decisions as a man. Here's how you handle your finances as a man. Here's how you manage your head and your issues with lust and all the temptations. This is how you do it as a man. And boys need that. You know, it's not something that just automatically one day they wake up and go, hey, I understand how to be a man. It's got to be modeled. It's got to be shown to them.
Right. And so point nine would be sons need fathers. No, this is a little sensitive with you, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make my statement, then I want you to make yours. But I'm going to kind of go into close, and I'm going to let you have the final. But I need a good man in my life. I need good men in my life. I need to be surrounded by good men that know me and call me to a higher place, rather than I drift off by myself with my own head in this culture and be left alone. No, I need good men. And my father is still alive. You know, I still need my dad. I need to know that he's there with mom and that the world is sane and life is good. And I need elders in my church. I need a minister that sets an example. I need other men working in ministry. And ultimately, I need the manhood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. You know, this one about sons needing fathers is particularly powerful to me. You know, my dad died when I was 18 years old, and, you know, up to that point, I had a good dad. You know, certainly he made his mistakes along the way, but I had a good dad, and it was one of those things where we've all heard the saying, you know, you don't know what you've got until it's gone, and I think that's very true. I didn't realize the value that my dad had in my life until he was gone. And so I want to make two points. First of all, for those of you who your father is still alive, I really want to encourage you to honor him by investing in what he can teach you. You know, even for those of us who might have had, you know, maybe some of you have fathers who are certainly less than ideal. You know, you can still honor your dad by gleaning things from him, by respecting him. But the second point I want to make is for those of you who are dads, redeem the time. You know, you never know how long you've got with your son. And there is a value on that relationship between sons and fathers that I don't think can ever have a price tag on it. Because it's a model of who God is to us. You know, Stephen and I were talking before the broadcast about how dads are the first image of God that a child will ever have, which means that every single child that's ever been born has had a flawed view of God. I'm not getting on any dads in particular here. We're all imperfect. But you have an opportunity as a father to lessen that gap between what your son sees as God and what is true about God. You have the opportunity to be gracious toward your son. You have the opportunity to invest wisdom and knowledge and understanding and time and truth. And I think dads have a great responsibility that we can do things that moms can't. Certainly not devaluing what a mom brings to her son. But there is something that God has put in dads that he's not put in moms. that boys, especially sons, need. They need that strength. They need that that leadership from you as a dad. And so I just hope we can wrap this up with just really making the point that men need other men. And if you guys who've been listening out there have really felt like, you know, I'm not experiencing this. I'm not experiencing that male bonding. I'm not experiencing that connection with other men. We want you to contact us because we want to help you find some resources in your area where you can begin developing some of these relationships. We just can't overstate how important it is to have these types of relationships in your life. So we're going to give you our contact information here in a moment, and we'd love to hear from you so that we can start you on this journey of learning how to connect with other men. We've been glad you've decided to be with us this week, and we will see you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
God bless.
Men, what would happen if you lived your life with purity, passion, and purpose? Could you make a difference in the world? In your family, in your marriage, in your community? I want to tell you about a product that we have that can help you become the man of purity, passion, and purpose that God has designed you to be. There's a workshop that I conducted entitled Becoming a Man of Purity, Passion, and Purpose. We have compiled this workshop onto a 2-CD set that contains 3 sessions. It also has a companion workbook. And this is all about fulfilling your destiny in God's family. If you struggle with pornography, if you're struggling with a sexual addiction, if you're just saying, you know what, I'm fed up with being mediocre, I'm fed up with living just a less than abundant life, this is the resource you need. This resource is a great gift idea. Ladies, if you're out there and your husband or your father, or there's a man in your life who you know could just use some inspiration, could just use some extra help, understand what is it going to take to live the abundant life that God promises, this is the resource. And we want to give you a special offer today of a 20% discount on this resource. We're going to give you that contact information in just a moment. You can also go to our website at pureliferesources.com and use the coupon code PASSION. Again, the coupon code PASSION will get you the 20% discount. That's Becoming a Man of Purity, Passion, and Purpose. Contact us today for a 20% discount.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.